be the progressive voice of Minnesota here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. A very busy show, so we're going to get right to our first interview with Tabitha Montgomery of the Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association, which encompasses the area where George Floyd was murdered. We're going to be getting Tabitha's thoughts on how the neighborhood has responded and also on some other issues as an African-American woman in Minnesota.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Brett.
Yeah, definitely. So, of course, with the murder of George Floyd and the aftermath of what's happened in your neighborhood, what's been kind of your feeling and emotion, not just from you, but also others you've been talking to?
I think the community overall is feeling the weight of what inequity can birth. It can bring about destruction almost in an instant. And I think that there's a range of feelings, right? Whether it be anger and sadness and disbelief and frustration, exhaustion. And that's not only within the business community from a property perspective, but that's certainly, I think, with respect to residents and the weight of needing now to try to look out for one another in a different way and be worried about also property, potential property damage that they might experience. And even truly, I think the trauma of what most of us sometimes have maybe had a hard time to process is how often we are being asked to witness murder on tape.
Yeah, because I think this even goes beyond just what happened to George Floyd. This isn't certainly the first incident that people of color have had with the police, unfortunately. This has been very much a common occurrence, and George Floyd, I think, at least in my eyes, and I could be wrong, just kind of seems like the tipping point in the situation. But yeah, it's certainly not the first incident we've seen by any means whatsoever.
Right. I think it's certainly when we look at what has happened across the nation, what has happened in our backyard, it feels like an inflection point. It felt like there was the last spark or the last straw that really just set the whole thing on fire. And I think that the conversation in the midst of civil uprising that produced some riots that certainly resulted in some degree of destruction, I think that we have collectively in different ways either aided and abetted the destruction of sometimes the human capital of not wanting to deal more squarely with more of a medicinal approach to racism. And I think left unchecked, left treated like the boogeyman, something that none of us are either comfortable talking about, willing to talk about, willing to cede ground that it could actually be a medical condition that could be treated as appropriately and adequately as those that might experience alcoholism or drugism or drug addiction, then we are not probably going to make all the progress that we want in this moment, which I think is sincere and real from all corners of our country and all corners of the world, quite frankly. We've received donations from places across the UK. It's just amazing. I think that the moment that we're having as a collective body of societies, and yet, I got to be honest, I'm some ways still holding skepticism close to me because I think that we've been here before. It feels like we've been here before. And it's my hope that the way that our community here locally within the state of Minnesota will respond is by being willing to stick with this conversation beyond this current news cycle.
I think that's a great point to bring up because as I was looking at the Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association Facebook page, one of the things that stood out to me was not just helping in the short term, but also helping in the long term. And we'll get to that, but I think it is having that long-term outlook on what needs to happen and making sure, yeah, this doesn't get lost in the news cycle. Because as you said, look at all the situations we've had in the past around the country, whether it be with Jamar Clark or Michael Brown or Eric Garner. There's so many examples where it looks like we're at that turning point and then all of a sudden it kind of fades from the news cycle and we go back to the way things were before where people largely aren't paying attention to these issues where, yeah, there are folks in our community who are not just getting, you know, shot by the police, but just getting harassed by police and law enforcement officials in their everyday lives. And it's something that's, yeah, very easy to forget about in the long term once the story kind of fades from the news cycle.
Exactly. And I think sometimes it's hard to imagine when it feels like something that may not be something that you or your family have to deal with directly to truly begin to understand what the cost is to society. You know, we don't do a good job of quantifying the cost of these moments, the amount of energy that it takes, the amount of emotional capital that is taken away from people in the community who were already serving other groups or willing to do work in different ways. If we were to really think critically about what each time these false starts cost us, so it's really not just because of what policies are not in place. It's not just about people turning a blind eye or not wanting to have a conversation. The uniqueness, in my opinion, is the fact that it's truly an ecosystem of apathy. And it's something that we will all have to fight hard to resist, to combat, to stay focused, to stay determined, to stay engaged about wanting to be healthier together, not allowing or ceding ground to cancer in one area of our communities. And often when we attempt to think that it's just cancer in one area, we miss the idea that it is likely spreading, and that ultimately when it spreads, it can metastasize and creates moments like these.
So what does that look like in terms of a way where we can look at this as being a larger issue that needs to be dealt with? What does that look like to you?
Well, I would say if I were to think about what does the end of the road look like, quite frankly, Brett, I would say that at some point in this country, we are not singularly angry about racism, that is not the dominant emotion that we reflect, that we understand that there should be space made for people to walk into either a church basement or a community center and say, hello, my name is Tim, and I have racial infused points of view about other people because of difference, or I am a racist full out. And I need help. And what are my 12 steps? And how can I get beyond this moment? Because, see, we keep wanting a program to fix this issue. We have to want to empower people to self-declare and identify as having these tendencies and say, what do I do about it? And until we understand it was never ours to force on someone to fix, that someone has to receive the diagnosis and want to do something about it, we're going to be lost. I've never been to my doctor, received a diagnosis, and then they've run out the room. We can no longer get by with saying you're a racist and not wanting to have a conversation. We can no longer get by with demanding more resources and doing all the studies, but then not finding the money. There are practical and tactical things that we could do to stand up to this moment, but it will take more than those who feel like, well, it just affects that corner of Minneapolis, or it just affects that corner of the county, or it just affects that corner of the state, or it just affects that corner of the country, or it just affects that corner of the world.
Well, yeah, that's very well said. How do we go in terms of trying to get there to make sure people stay engaged and not just, as you're saying, focusing on one specific area, saying, well, this only affects the area of 38th and Chicago, or this only affects Minneapolis? How do we get people kind of engaged in that process and keep them, more importantly, I think?
Well, I do think that it's about attempting to have these conversations more frequently, more often, and then helping pointing people to, so what can I do? So, for instance, for those that are listening to your show today, what can you do? You can take the time to begin to self-reflect on the instances where you probably have had views personally about other groups that likely was based on difference. We all have to get to a point, and this isn't trying to create a false equivalency between structural racism and systems of power that often has rested in the hands of white people, but it's really about trying to attempt to say that there is a need for more of us to be able to see that if we don't approach those who are struggling with these isms, I believe, from a stance of love to create more pathways to healing so that the impact to people of color or any other group at some point in this country's history that we choose to marginalize because of something that we don't believe that they possess, then we've missed the point. So there's some self-reflection that needs to happen. There's letters and calls that could be made that's coming out of more than just District 4 in Hennepin County, that's coming out from more than just Minneapolis, as we know our state legislators are going to be headed into a special session on June 12th. So see, everybody can help with this. Everybody can say, we need to fund these solutions. We are not interested in just a singular program. We're not just interested in believing that when we see the buildings re-erected, that we've somehow reached the promised land. We have to check ourselves and know that the things that brought about the destruction were certainly still in our communities, and they need to be addressed fully, consistently, and with compassion.
So are you optimistic that people are going to be able to do this eventually in the long term? I know you were expressing some skepticism a few minutes ago, and I certainly can see why. Do you think we have reached that kind of turning point, or do you still have some skepticism about this?
Oh, I have no idea, Brett. What all I can tell you is that we would be best served as a community not wondering whether or not we will make it. Mm-hmm. See, that's a distraction. All we need to care about is doing our best work right now, being our best selves right now. That's what we control right now, not whether or not these seeds that we sow will produce the outcomes that are warranted. We need not focus on whether or not these efforts and these conversations will make a difference. We just need to focus on that they're happening, because we could become stymied by the idea that even to take one step is not going to get us to where we want to go. I am fully aware, and I tell my staff and in the community often, that we don't have to be the ones that see the change. We just have to be committed to doing our part that change may come at some point.
Gotcha. Okay. So how can people, I know you were alluding to this earlier, but how can people help? You were talking about doing, of course, a lot of self-reflection. Share some more thoughts on that in terms of how people can help, both in the short and the long term.
Well, you know, if everyone had an opportunity to visit our website at www.ppna.org, we've attempted to provide and suggest some steps, things that they could do in the today and the right now is donating to organizations that are at ground zero, attempting to help this community to recover, to heal, and to continue to call for justice in our community for everybody. You can also look for ways to volunteer. I mean, there's definitely significant numbers of groups and organizations who are reaching out and in to figure out how they can help. So please be patient with us as we attempt to respond to your interest, whether as an individual or as a group. In the midterm, we are encouraging people to understand that there are ways for us to raise our voices collectively around the need to influence change the way that we see it for the long term. We certainly can continue to volunteer with organizations that all along had been doing things that looked more loving than punitive. So there's all kinds of outreach groups. There's all kinds of organizations that are not trying to save a life, but to engage with a human being for where they're at in this moment in their time. And then in the really long term, it's going to be about policy and resource allocations that more than the people that, again, like I said, we believe are most impacted are willing to address. This is for corporate America. If you are a leader in an ED&I department and you think equity and diversity and inclusion programming has not quite caught fire, you might want to consider who you've hired. Oftentimes, we don't ask what you're doing about inclusivity and how you feel about diversity, those questions in the interview process, but then we want to erect a program once they've entered to the corporation and think that they're going to somehow catch fire. We need more than programs. We need people to have a heart change and a mind change, and that heart change and that mind change is for each individual to own.
Yeah. That's very well said, I think, again, too, because, yeah, it's much different than, yeah, just saying, oh, we have this diversity program in place and, oh, we feel good about ourselves. Yeah, it's you can have all those programs in place you want, but if you don't end up changing people's minds, well, then what good does it do other than just, well, maybe feeling a little bit better about what you've done? And that, yeah, just doesn't apply to corporations, but to, you know, other areas of life where you can say, well, I'm not a racist, but then you have to think about, yeah,
I check the box.
Yeah.
That's for church groups. That's for people who support organizations like Feed My Starving Children and People Serving People. You come in to do mission work and then you pop out and you in the same car ride have said something that probably has a racial tinted tone to it because of who you've seen on the street. See, this is the long work. This is the hard work, because we have to all admit that there are so many biases, implicit or otherwise, and stereotypes that we've allowed to kind of seep into the stew, and we've all been steeping in it. And so we should not be surprised. We should not be surprised when destruction comes from hate. We should all stop pretending that this moment could not be foreseen. This is an opportunity to step up to the plate and understand, who do you want to be? This isn't about what's just happening in Minneapolis. This isn't just about what's happening in LA. This isn't about just the fact that you're not comfortable maybe taking on more of an activist tone and nature and protesting. You don't have to protest to be a change agent. But we do have to move beyond just cycles of awareness. What will it take for us to be permanently aware that the solution rests with us? We can either continue to lay down or we can rise up together. And it is my hope and my prayer and my belief that we will, but I am not concerned about whether or not I see it. This may not happen for another few generations because it's hard work, and I understand what sometimes pulls us out of hard work. because it's just as much as I think that I am trying to convey to you and your audience the passion by which I believe what I am communicating. There will be other groups working just as hard to submit another vision, to sow doubt, to point fingers, to say you should have just made a better choice. And if you think about it, at one point we treated persons who had alcohol abuse in the same way. We talked about people who had drug addiction in the same way. And now we're talking about, oh, we need to help the people who are caught up in the opioid crisis. So how about we look about helping the people who are caught up in their own racist crisis?
And this does require people to have, I think, to be frank, a very uncomfortable kind of reflection of themselves. It's very uncomfortable to go and look at how you interact with others throughout your life. It's tough for people to do it. I was talking to someone about how he attended protests, and the way he kind of summed it up, I thought was actually kind of well said, where he said, unfortunately, while it's nice to have people out protesting, he saw a lot of people, primarily white, who just kind of looked like they were going through the motions as they were out there, not really understanding necessarily why they're out there. Or I think, as you were saying, kind of going through that real reflection in terms of how they interact with others, or really thinking about racism and other issues that people end up facing. And I think as you're talking about this reflection that people need to have, it's uncomfortable to have, but as you said, it's very, very necessary.
And I think that there's just a truth to life, that at some point we all find ourselves in different minority groups. And so sometimes when we have allies, you know, who are identified from different white racial groups, and they're protesting, and they want to help to seed and to cement change, and there is some discomfort there, I just encourage you to acknowledge the comfort, hold on to it, and it's going to be up to you to manage through it. There's so many of us of brown skin that have had our own minority moments. I went to Michigan State, predominantly at the time, populated by persons of different white ethnic groups. And I can remember times sitting in auditoriums where I maybe was one of five out of 300. And Brett, I had to square my shoulders, I had to get out my notepad, and I had to focus. And so this is more of an encouragement, and it's an attempt not to lecture. I can't get nobody to want to do better. But I believe that most people want better. I am convinced that most people understand the value of what we could achieve as a society if more of us were healthy. But if we keep resisting even giving racism and other isms the acknowledgement that they're due in terms of how those are more related, in my opinion, to a health crisis and not an opinion, then we will approach this differently. People who have allowed these conversations not to progress, or who have been excited that they have not progressed or that we have not made more progress, have been able to, I believe, benefit from the stagnation. And so we collectively, as individuals, can begin to play a significant role in changing the tide, reclaiming the narrative, not looking to be afraid of sometimes needing to look in the mirror and say, I can see some racist tendencies that I need to work on. But in order to work on them, we have to create pathways for places to go. Otherwise, they are able to be co-opted and to be recruited into the echo chambers of hate that you find online and in communities that are resistant to this idea that everything that has breath, everything in creation has value, and none of us has created the other.
We've been speaking with Tabitha Montgomery. She is with the Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association. Their website is ppna.org. Tabitha, I think this has been a really good and important conversation to have. Unfortunately, we are up against the clock, but I really, really appreciate the time today. Again, that website, ppna.org. Thanks again for joining me on the show today.
Thank you so much, Bert, for having me.
We're going to take a break and come on back with more on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
Standard Heating and Air Conditioning knows it's June when us Minnesotans finally stop talking about how cold it is and start talking about how hot it is, which is the perfect time for Standard's Summer Is Here sale. During June, you can save $900 on a new air conditioner with payments as low as $47 a month for 0% financing. Find out more about these great savings at standardheating.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for more than 25 years. My company has been awarded more than 5 national awards for craftsmanship. You won't find somebody who loves their job more than me. I've devoted my life to my family, my craft, my business, and to the people who trust me with their projects. And I'm happier for doing it. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio. And right now, with so much fear, uncertainty, anxiety, and real problems, I mean, people are facing hunger, there's depression, there's anxiety. What else is there? There's climate change, there's the soil going corrupt. How do we connect with each other? How do we take this moment of crisis and take a sad song and make it better? That's what we're talking about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to us Saturdays at 8 a.m. or Sundays at 11 or anytime on podcast, Food Freedom Radio.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about outdoor fires. Sitting around a fire is the oldest, most basic form of human activity.
What's new is in the way fire is burned. We can show you how to burn cleaner with a lot less smoke.
The radiant heat and light from an open fire is unmatched. It kindles our spirits and connects us to the outdoors. And now it's easier to experience and enjoy.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs wood and gas burning fire pits and fireplaces. Let us help you experience an outdoor fire without all the smoke.
Come see the many ways you can enjoy a fire outdoors.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces strives to maintain a healthy environment for their customers and employees. They invite you to visit weekdays 9:30 to 5:30 and Saturdays 9:30 to 4. You'll find an uncrowded and comfortable social space to learn about Woodland Stoves' many indoor and outdoor fireplace products. More at woodlandstoves.com.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all 5 of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Sunny and 77 degrees for your Friday. Remaining clear but a little cooler Friday night with a low of 51. AM 950 weather is brought to you by Schroman Law. Estate planning doesn't just create a plan for what happens after you die. It also helps your loved ones care for you in the event of an accident or as you age. Get started today with Schroman Law in St. Paul. Call 651-571-2515 or visit schromanlaw.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're listening to FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. So we're joined now by a former AM 950 personality that you might remember from a number of years ago. It's Mark Haney, who used to host the show Minnesota Matters on AM 950. And right now he runs a law firm called Haney Law Firm, which specializes in consumer protections. Mark, good to get you back on the AM 950 airwaves.
Hi, Brett. It's always good to be back and happy memories of spending a lot of time there with your listeners back when I was when we had our show, Minnesota Matters. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. So before we dive into some of the topics, because we're going to be focusing on consumer protections and what rights people have amid the COVID-19 pandemic. But before we get into that, Mark, can you tell us a little bit about Haney Law Firm and what you do and what sorts of cases you specialize in?
Yeah, well, my law practice is dedicated to consumer protection, which can be a broad category, both in individual cases and class actions. I'm representing consumers, plaintiffs, ordinary people who have had their rights violated by typically big businesses, banks, payday lenders, debt collectors, credit bureaus. And we bring those actions on behalf of individuals. We do a lot under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. We've been spending a lot of our time over the last few years suing the robo-dialers, who the robo-debt collectors, the banks are using robocalls to bother people and attempt to collect debts. But we've taken on predatory lenders for violating Minnesota's usury laws and statutes. And helps people that have had incorrect reporting on their credit reports. Just a whole host of illegal repossession, unlawful repossession, a whole host of things that fall under that category of consumer protection and largely in financial matters.
And
frequently, I should say, Brett, that our cases are typically, we take them and we do those on a contingency fee basis. So we're not charging people. They're not paying. They're something that we take out of the back end, our fees, because so many of these statutes, consumer protection statutes, part of the remedy is that the defendant or the wrongdoer has to pay the attorney's fees of the complainant or the plaintiff. So I always want to emphasize that because people should avail themselves of their rights and not feel that legal bills and fees are going to be a barrier when it comes to consumer protection.
Yeah, and that actually leads me into my next question, because I imagine with a lot of people getting laid off for either the first time or maybe getting laid off for the first time in a long time, they're going to be getting those debt collection type calls and might be concerned about what their rights necessarily are. And as you mentioned, when you think about litigation, you think about paying thousands of dollars in legal fees, and sometimes that can scare people away from exercising those rights. And I imagine we're probably going to have folks run into this more and more as the pandemic continues.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think there's going to be tremendous economic fallout for individuals and families because of what's happened. When I was on air, I was practicing law and also on air on AM 950 in the 2008, 2009, 2010 crisis. And a lot of my work, even over the last decade, emanated from the hardships that people had during that period. So I think it's inevitable that this is going to create similar problems. I will say that in preparing for this interview with you and going through all of the executive orders issued by our governor, going through all of the CARES Act and trying, there is an enormous amount of relief and help that is trying to make its way to individuals and families, just as, whether it's the $1,200 for families or for people under the CARES Act, or if it's just reprieves from the pressure right now why they may not be employed for 120 days or 180 days, So there's help out there. I wouldn't fault anyone for being confused and overwhelmed by it, because as an attorney, I also am overwhelmed by going through all the different options and things. So I think the important message is for everyone out there, if you're feeling that way, if you're feeling overwhelmed about bills, if you're feeling you can't make payments, there is likely some type of relief out there, either under statute, from the CARES Act, under executive order, or under even something you can negotiate privately if there's a private lender or someone that's outside of the purview of these executive orders in the CARES Act. So I hope people will not become despondent and depressed, which is easy to do in situations like these, and to be proactive in seeking out help and looking for those protections.
Talking at the local level, what sorts of executive orders have we been seeing from Governor Walz outside of the ones that have gotten, a lot of publicity, like, for instance, the idea that you can't be evicted right now amid this time period? What sorts of executive orders have we been seeing from the governor? Because it's been overwhelming, as you said, when we see these things issued every day. It's tough to keep track.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you hit on a big one, right? I mean, we do not want families and people being evicted and foreclosed upon and foreclosure sales right now during this period of time. So you hit on a very big one with his executive order that forbid those during this period of the emergency. So if someone is facing And that's not to say that every landlord is aware of these executive orders or feels that they need to abide by them. So people need to be aware that those executive orders related to eviction, foreclosure, need to know that they exist, and they need to know that if they're having pushback from lenders, if they're having pushback from landlords, to contact an attorney, contact the Minnesota Attorney General's office, and fight back. You deserve to keep your, and the governor has said you can keep your family housed while during this emergency. The other one I talk about is just yesterday, Governor Tim Walz entered or signed emergency executive order 2050, and it simply said that the $1,200 that individuals received under the CARES Act, and I believe they call it the, they're calling the recovery rebates, are considered government aid based on need. And the reason that language is important is that it makes it exempt from any type of garnishment, meaning that if you are presently under garnishment, or a creditor is has a judgment against you, and that they cannot take those funds, and that you need to let that creditor or creditor's attorney know that you have exempt funds. And interestingly, another part of that, Brett, is that when a person is receiving any government assistance based on need, whether it be food stamps, utility assistance, Medicaid, unemployment benefits, anytime they're receiving any of those things, any earnings or wages that they are receiving are also exempt from garnishment. So what that means is if you receive this $1,200 check, and you had to, I think you had to make under $100,000
right
to qualify, or somewhere around there. If you had received that $1,200 check, for 60 days, your wages and all earnings are exempt from any garnishment. Not only the $1,200, but your wages and earnings,
really?
If you're still working. And so I want people to know that. That is my argument. It's an executive order. It may make its way into the courts and whether my reading of that right, but I believe in my reading of that, and I would tell anyone who got that check is also facing garnishment presently to write to the creditor or creditor's attorney an exemption and say, I receive government assistance based on need in the form of a $1,200 check. And or if they're receiving any other type of government-based, needs-based assistance, to let them know, because those garnishments can stop, and that can make a big difference for people right now.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because we even had a listener a few weeks ago ask that question, wondering if banks could withhold that money if you owed different creditors. That's what I was hearing as well, that
and
the bank
that
could... Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, and the answer to that is, under my reading of this executive order, is no. They cannot. That is not garnishable. It can't be levied. It is meant to provide assistance to people. And now, my argument further is that is government-based, is need-based assistance, and that their wages and earnings for 60 days are also cannot be garnished or levied.
Would that also apply to any back taxes owed to the government?
Well, taxes are a different animal. Now, there are, what I have read, and I will admit that there's so much of this stuff I have not had a chance to read every single rag. My understanding is that the government has suspended any type of reimbursement, federal government at least, and I need to check and see if Minnesota have stopped taking any offset from tax rebates or Social Security if you have back taxes due. My understanding is that that has been suspended, but that would take a call to review on the IRS site or call the Minnesota Department of Revenue to confirm that. But there is relief out there for that.
Well, anything else you'd like to highlight among the executive orders that people should be paying attention to? Maybe some of these orders that have flown under the radar that haven't gotten a lot of play in the media that could really help consumers and people who are borrowers?
Yeah, well, those are the big two, and I think. But I will say there's a flurry of them that are coming out. I went on and I was looking up all the executive orders, and they go on and on. So there is a lot out there right now. But I think we've hit on the two. Now that's not to that's not to diminish what the federal government has done in regards to allowing for forbearances on federally backed. Mortgages mm-hmm. That are owned by, you know, Fannie, Freddie, VA. So I think people need to know that there are two elements to this. There are the state laws and the executive orders being issued by Tim Walz, our legislature, but then also a number of things that are coming out of federal agencies too.
So looking at what we've seen at both the federal and the state level, we've certainly seen some consumer protections that have been enacted, but the question is, are these going to be enforced? Because that's where the details really come down to. Because if there's a company out there that's saying, well, all right, if we end up doing something that's technically illegal, if that costs, well, less than paying what the potential litigation would cost, they're going to do that every time. So do we have enough in terms of the enforcement mechanisms to make sure that these executive orders and legislation at the federal level are actually going to be enforced?
Yeah, well, the executive orders all have enforcement provisions within them for civil fines and being enforced by the Minnesota Attorney General's office. So I think it is important to contact the Minnesota Attorney General's office, even the victim of some type of fraud or violation of these orders, because they need to know, because they have the cops on the beat, so to speak, to get out and put an end to it quickly, because if you're experiencing it, it is very likely that others are also. So that's one part of it. Also, contacting a private attorney like myself is something you should consider also, because we have the knowledge and, you know, the ability to see if there are private remedies available to help people that are victims of this. I also wanted to say one other thing, Brad, if I could. Just, you know, there are two parts to this anytime a tragedy, if you want to call it that right now, what's going on economically for people and the pandemic come along, is that we have the government jumping in to respond and to help people. But unfortunately, it also stimulates or creates a lot of people that come out of the woodwork that are committing frauds and abuse and abusive of businesses. I'd really encourage your listeners to be very skeptical of anything they are receiving in their email, their phone calls, their mailbox from people offering or businesses offering loans and other types of relief that perhaps seem too good to be true, because they usually are. And I don't think that I think people need to have their radars up for anything advertising some program, federal program, or you know, they come in all sorts, these frauds, but people really need to have their antennas up and to protect themselves from getting into things that are scams and frauds.
Oh, most definitely. I can even think back to a text I received a few weeks ago that said, alert from the Minnesota Department of Health. A patient has tested positive for COVID-19, and they said they were in contact with you within 7 days. Stay at home. We will need to send a test to you. And then it gives you what I'm guessing is a fake website to go to. We're probably going to see lots of those types of things that are going to come out of the woodwork as well.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. And I think back to 09, 010. When there was some relief acts issued by Congress dealing with the housing crisis, and then pretty soon the mail was flooded with businesses that were playing on that, saying, did you know the government set up a plan to help you with your mortgage? Call us, and we'll help you.
And as you're saying, these are just are like actual ads that are airing on media outlets, too.
Exactly. It's the messages to listeners and to people is definitely don't become despondent or depressed if you're going through a difficult time. Seek out the resources, Minnesota Attorney General's Office, National Association of Consumer Advocates, the National Consumer Law Center. Find out what programs are legitimately available to you. Look at the executive orders. Find out go to reputable sources to find out the help you can get. And then the second part of that is to stay away from the scams and frauds, and don't allow yourself to be taken in on those. So those are the two parts of this. My website is, if people are looking, is MinnesotaConsumerRights.com, MNConsumerRights.com. Either will get you there, HaneyLaw.com. I can point people in the right directions, or if they have cases, I can certainly look at those too. But those are, I just hope people will avail themselves of everything that's being done right now to help.
And that was part one of my conversation with Mark Haney, former AM 950 radio host and now also consumer rights attorney. You can find out more at HaneyLaw.com. Coming up on the other side of the break, we'll continue talking with Mark as we'll talk about what your rights are if you're getting those annoying debt collection calls. That and more coming up next.
Minnehaha Falls Landscaping creates outdoor environments that grow beauty and support health and wellness. We provide everything needed for people and pollinators to grow healthy together in the home landscape. Contact us for landscape renovations, patios, walkways, retaining walls, butterfly gardens, rain gardens, and bee lawns. Minnehaha Falls Landscaping is a business rooted in healthy soil. We rely on soil health to beautify landscapes, restore ecosystems, and protect pollinators. We love sharing our soil secrets with everyone. Visit us at MinnehahaFallsLandscape.com.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drinkin' the Style. Look, we're all working from home right now, and chances are you've become aware of the importance of a decent office chair. Well, I'd like to offer you a means of helping a local business while making working from home a lot more pleasant. How about considering the X Chair? We can ship the X Chair directly to your home. Now, I wish I could have you into Habitation to try it out, but that's not an option. So I'm encouraging you to visit xchair.com to have a look. But once you do, please give Habitation a call to place your order. Doing so ensures that you're supporting a local business at a time that we really need your help. And I'll tell you what, when you place your order by phone with Habitation, we'll discount the chairs an extra 10% off the lowest price on the X Chair website. So do your back, neck, and butt a favor and take a look at X Chair at xchair.com. Then call Habitation at 952-426-3548. That's 952-426-3548.
We've been spending more time in our homes the last few months than ever. Have you looked at your floors? Are they just dirty? Or is it time to replace your flooring? Well, lucky for you, nobody knows carpet and flooring more than the experts at Zero Res. Z Floors by Zero Res partnered with Shaw and Mohawk to offer custom solutions to fit any lifestyle and budget. Whether you're considering carpet, hardwood, luxury, vinyl, or tile, Z Floors by Zero Res will bring their mobile showroom to you for a safe, free in-home consultation. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com.
Hey, I guess we found a new name for our show.
Really? What's the new name?
Pilots Progressive Party.
How did you ever come up with that?
Pilots our name and progressive fun is our game.
Well, what's that about?
It's a one-hour news show with progressive guests and information you normally don't hear on the radio.
Well, that's so exciting. I have a few ideas for guests myself.
I know they'll be progressive.
Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. on AM 950.
The Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Next Chapter Booksellers is the perfect gift idea for Dad this Father's Day. Whether the dad on your list likes baseball, barbecues, or biographies, Next Chapter Booksellers can help you find just the right book to make his Father's Day a special occasion. Plus, Next Chapter even sells cards and puzzles. Call them daily between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. to talk to a bookseller. They love making recommendations. That's 651-225-8989 or nextchapterbooksellers.com.
We're back on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. You're listening to FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. So coming up, we're going to play back part two of my conversation with Mark Haney. He is a consumer rights attorney and also former on-air personality on AM 950 radio. As we're talking about what your rights are as consumers, so let's get back now to my interview with Mark. few more topics I want to go through with you, and actually just continuing on, well, some of the fraudsters, as we're talking about, that are probably going to be coming out of the woodwork, as we're talking about, over the next few months and years, probably. What can people do to try to detect whether something is fraudulent or not? I know you were talking about how you can go to a private attorney or look at the executive orders or go to the attorney general's office, because I imagine a lot of people think, well, I have a pretty good radar for determining what's fraud and what's not. But a lot of these scammers are very good at making themselves come across as, well, legitimate and reputable type of businesses.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I think most people think they have a good radar for it. I think a lot of people do have a good radar, but that situations like this with the coronavirus and all the stress and the economic collapse that's happening right now can make that radar not as efficient at detecting things because of kind of the desperation that people have. So I think the first thing is just to be aware that it's an awareness that what you're being told by a company may not be true. And what you're hearing on radio or in the mail and things might not be true. You need to find those reputable sources for information. That is how you're going to do it. If you don't do anything without finding a reputable source, and I count reputable sources as consumer advocacy organizations, reputable consumer advocacy organizations like the National Consumer Law Center, the National Association of Consumer Advocates. I count those as the Minnesota Attorney General's Office. I count it as the governor's website. Those are the places I want, you know, people to verify what they're receiving or believing. And then the age-old rule of thumb is, if it's too good to be true, it is. And so I think people need to focus on that also. And if I can give one other piece of advice, is just general, even if you're in a tough situation now financially, call the regular bills that you have. Call your cell phone carrier. Call your internet provider. Call and let them know what's going on and that you can't pay. And they are likely going to make some accommodations, or they are going to reduce bills. I think there's a lot you can do, but you need to be staying directly with reputable sources of information and also going directly to those creditors that you have or companies that you deal with.
When it comes to talking to your creditors, and certainly take this with a grain of salt. I remember seeing this from a Facebook post my friend made. They were saying that you have to use like specific language when you're talking to some of these creditors to make sure that they will make accommodations. Something like, you need to specifically say that you no longer have income because of COVID-19. Is that necessarily true, or are creditors generally going to give you some type of relief?
Well, the answer is I've never heard of specific language. I think they're probably getting into, well, the from the top down of the company has come their flow sheet as far as, you know, where do we put people, and the people that have lost their job here will offer this. If they are simply having a cutback on their income, we put them here. This is what we'll offer. So perhaps that, you know, maybe what he's thinking about with specific language, but I think generally calling and explaining your financial hardship and saying that you're going to need an accommodation or to cancel the account, that usually that will motivate a company to know you're serious, and that if they want to keep you as a customer and they want to keep some income themselves, because don't forget, these companies are also hurting. Or some of them, you know, many of them are hurting too. They don't want to lose customers. So I think that if you say, explain the hardship, you tell them that either you need some help, or you're going to have to cancel your account, that you're going to find some negotiating room there.
So this is certainly an area you specialize in, and this would be debt collection and sometimes collectors who end up harassing borrowers. Are we expecting to see, well, probably an obvious answer, I'm sure we're going to see more aggressive actions. What can people do to fight back against this? What are their rights when it comes to debt collection now with COVID-19?
Yeah, well, when it will be the same. We have a strong federal law called the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and it protects people from abusive and harassing debt collectors, those collectors that are collecting consumer debts. The example is they can't call your friends and family. They can't call your work. They have specific hours during which they can call. They can't harass you. They can't swear at you. They can't claim that you need to pay more than you're legally obligated to pay. They can't throw fees on. The law is too expansive with the restrictions to go through everything, but it is safe to say that that a debt collector cannot treat you unfairly or deceptively, or they violated the federal law and you're entitled to statutory damages of $1,000, actual damages for emotional distress, and then they have to pay the attorney's fees and costs associated with that. It's a very strong federal law. Now, right now, we're probably in a quiet period, but it is going to, as things get back eventually to normal, whatever normal is going to look like after this, the accounts are going to make their way to debt collectors, and they're going to start calling, and they're going to be after people, and the abuses will start. Getting calls from debt collectors, letters and stuff, I mean, that's the point where call me. I can talk to you. Call my office, MinnesotaConsumerRights.com. There's no fee for consultations, and we do them no upfront costs, and we can protect them. So people should also know that they don't have to tolerate those abuses. And I'll give you examples. I mean, I've had clients who debt collection agencies have been calling their workplaces and embarrassing them there by asking to talk to their bosses, calling family members and telling family members to tell the debtor to pay their debts, calling hundreds of times, robo-dialing. I mean, these are all violations, and people should call me and let me know, and I'm happy to talk to them about those.
We've been speaking with Mark Haney of the Haney Law Firm. You can find out more at haneylaw.com, also a former AM 950 radio host. Mark, we're going to have you back on again, because as we were talking about before we even came on air, we could go on for hours and hours talking about some of these topics, but it could be a good idea if we can make this a somewhat recurring feature on the show. I'm sure a lot of folks probably have questions as well.
I would love to do it, Brett. And as you said, I was preparing to talk to you, and I've got a stack of documents, about 100 pages worth of stuff in my desk, trying to boil this all down. So, yeah, I'd be happy to come back on. But again, my advice to people is to seek out the reputable sources and seek for the help, and don't become depressed and despondent over this terrible situation. But there is help out there.
Yeah, most definitely. Can you give out your contact information one more time?
Yeah, they can contact the office, 952-933-9655, or they can go on the website, email me, set up times to talk or to call. The website is, like you said, haneylaw.com, haneylaw.com, or a simpler way of doing it is minnesotaconsumerrights.com, minnesotaconsumerrights.com.
All right, Mark, thanks again for the time today. Really appreciate it.
Brett, I appreciate it. Enjoy your show, and enjoy listening. Thanks.
Well, that's about all the time I got for today on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. We got Matt McNeil coming up next.